Yes, we are up to Peches on the base. It's not an easy Gemara. Coming up, Gemara is not an easy Gemara. The Gemara makes an assumption here, but never proves it. The Gemara makes an assumption that whenever Beis Din sees that someone is doing an Avera, they have an obligation to stop him. The Gemara has in Ksubis also like that. If a person doesn't want to eat matzah, a person doesn't want to wear tefillin, he doesn't want to sit in the sukkah, makanoso atche teitei nafsho. You beat him up till he becomes unconscious. So you try to. A person doesn't want to do a mitzvah. A person wants to do an avera. So it's the responsibility of the bezin to be koifa ala mitzvahs. Where does this come from? So the Pashta says, the Gemara says, that's Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebozeh. And the Gemara learns it out from the Pasuk, Anis Taros Hashem Alakeinu, V'aniglos Lon Ol Vaneinu, Adoy Lam Lassus is called the Rav Terezos. So the Gemara understands, Anis Taros, if a person is doing an Avera, B'seiser, we're not aware of it. So Hashem Alakeinu, let the Rav Shalom take care of it. However, V'aniglos, if a person Begoloi is violating an Avera, a person Begoloi, doesn't want to fulfill a mitzvah, that's lo nolvanedu, la'asos. La'asos doesn't mean to keep the mitzvahs. The Gemara has an expression regarding tzedakah, gadol hama'ase, yoisa min ha'oisa, in the first parak in Bava Basra. The gabbai who pressures everybody to give tzedakah gets more schar than the person who himself gives the tzedakah. La'asos means to pressure other people to keep the mitzvahs. So the Gemara understands Haniglos Lonol Vanenu La'asos is called La'asos means to pressure others to keep the mitzvahs. Then the Psukim, the Gemara says that there in the Nukudas on the 11 letters there on Haniglos Lonol Vanenu Adolam. So the Gemara said that's din, this din Kol Yisrael Arev Mezeh Bezeh didn't begin immediately at Maimon HaSinai, didn't begin till the Krisis Bris at Hagrizim and Harevel. The Gemara says there was a Krisis Bris at Har Sinai, and that's the Teichachem Chukosa Ele Dibur Arbis HaShakar Hashem in Bnei Yisrael Har Sinai. Then there was a Krisis Bris in Arbis Mayav, 40 years later, right before Moshe Rabbeinu dies. What was the need for a second Krisis Bris? There already was a Krisis Bris at Har Sinai. So Moshe Rabbeinu says in the beginning of Nitzav, Lo Itchem Lo Atchem Anochi Karesas Arbis HaZos. This bris is binding on the Doros HaBoim. The fact that we today are obligated to observe the mitzvahs is not because of the bris at Har Sinai. The bris at Har Sinai, the psukim seem to imply, was only binding on the people who are present at Har Sinai. The Gemara says all the neshamas of the future people, or the souls of the people who are going to be born, were present. But a bris is not binding on a soul. A bris is binding on a human being. If a person is born and he exists and he makes an agreement, a commitment, so that's binding. So the bris at Har Sinai seems from the psukim was only binding, that's how the Gemara interprets it, was only binding on that generation. And the bris at Arvis Mayav at the end of the 40 years, so Rashi quotes from the Gemara in the end of Shavuos, it's binding on the Doros HaBoim. All the future generations are also obligated to observe. So that's why there was a need for a second bris. But then when there was a third bris at Hagrizim and Harevel, that's when they said the 12th psukim brachas haklalos at Hagrizim and Harevel. In the Chumash, in Parshas Kisavai, you only have the klolos written, or huisha sheaset pesal masecha, or isha or makalo aviviim, or masik vulreyu. You have all the klolos, but the Gemara explains that every klolos was first said as a bracha, baruch isha shalom yaset pesal masecha, baruch isha shalom yaklis aviviim. Everything was first said as a bracha, and then a klolos. So the last after the 12 psukim, or 12 times in a row. So the 12th one sounds like it's very general, very vague. Orash Eliyakim is Dibra HaTorah Zois. I already forgot the end of the passage. Arshel Yochan is Divrei Torah Hazois. Forgot. Let's take a look. So the Ramban quotes a Yerushalmi. Taisus, we learned that in Saita a few years ago when we learned Saita. Taisus in Saita quotes the same Yerushalmi. Taisus in Saita quotes a lot of Yerushalmis. So the Yerushalmi says, what do you mean? Or Hashem lo yokim is divrei Torah, says in Baruch Hashem yokim. The Yerushalmi asks, v'cheish Torah no fellas. What do you mean? You have to support the Sefer Torah that it shouldn't collapse. What do you mean? Or Hashem lo yokim. So one opinion in the Yerushalmi says, yeah, it goes on the one who gets Hagba. He should do Hagba well. Baruch Hashem yokim is divrei Torah, says. So the Ramban said that's an asmachta. That's not really pshat. But what is the real pshat? So the Ramban quotes the second interpretation. The Yerushalmi is the real pshat. It goes on Bezim Shalmata. The government or the Bezim Shalmata has an obligation to see to it to be making Ula Shal Torah. See to it that the community observes all the mitzvahs. We don't believe in democracy, basically. The Israeli government is not supposed to be a democracy. It's supposed to be a Jewish government. And it's supposed to force all the people to keep all the mitzvahs. Now you can't force. Now you can't force them. Unfortunately, the roiv of the Jewish population are not shomrei mitzvahs. So it'll look ridiculous that the miut is going to be koyf for the roiv to keep the mitzvahs. It just won't work. But when you have the roiv of Klal Yisrael are observing, then they're supposed to see to it that everybody keeps all the mitzvahs. So that's Baruch Hashem Yochem Zdira Terezos La'asoy Soysom, says over there also. So the Ramban says that's the poshet, the pshat, and the pasuk. The first 11 arurim are on particular averis. Cursed is the person who makes of it. Or makalov v'vim, one is mevazel the parents. Or masik v'ulreya, or mashke iver baderech, mata mishpat ger yosef amon, sherech v'neish esoviv, and so on. The first 11 are on particular averis. Okay, and then the 12th one, after the 11th particular arum, the 12th one is a general. If it's biyod lahakim, if it's a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, the Melech or the Bezim Shalmata is biyod lahakim, is divrei Torah la'asoy saisam isui kvod lahamase, means la'asos, to force the public to observe the mitzvahs. So the Gemara says this we know. That Bezin is Kaifa ala mitzvahs. Bezin is Kaifa people, person doesn't want to do a mitzvah essay. So the Gemara says, Makanoso, you beat him up, till he faints, till he becomes unconscious. And if a person doesn't have Averis, you try to prevent him from doing the Averis. You have a right, even the Shlech Bezin has a right even to hit the person. The Gemara has in Bovakama. That Obedinish Dina Lapshay, whenever it's Lafrushin the Yisura. The Shliach Bezin, the Gemara has in Maikot, in Perikel and Megachim, the Shliach Bezin, we learn out from a Pasuk in Ezra. When Ezra came back at the end of the 7 years of Golden Bulls, he came back there to Israel. So every other person was intermarried, they weren't keeping any mitzvahs, it was Gefelach. So Ezra says, V'oravivam, I was fighting with them, V'akalalem. I was cursing them. Va'amartem is ripping out the hair, and is ripping their clothing, and destroying their property. So the Gemara says, it's a head that the Shliach Bezin has to force people to keep mitzvahs. If it's going to work, and now it's just not going to work. If the miut is going to be koy for the roif, so there'll be a world war, it's just not going to work. But if it's within reason. If you have Ruba, the Ruba of the Jews are observant, and then there's a miut, and the miut are not observant, so it's the responsibility of the government of the Jewish Bezin Shalmata to be kaifa ala mitzvahs. So that the Gemara knows in general. Mitzvah sese, mitzvah leisese, and even if a person is doing a something that's also misofik, also sofik deraisa luchumri, you kaifa ala mitzvahs. So that's the Gemara's problem over here. The Gemara peches on the day is about 15 lines from the top. So the Gemara says, Masiv Rava. Rava asks Akasha. It says on the Torah Or, Vayikra Chafalav. He quotes a Torah's Kohanim, quotes a Brisa that comments on the Pasuk. So it says in the beginning of Parsha Sanmor, Viki Dashtoi, Ki Eslechem Alekech Hu Makriv. So the Gemara has in Gittin, in the middle of Perek HaNezok and in Gittin, so the Mishnah says a series of takonis that were instituted in Pnei Tikkun HaOlam. So it's not right. If a man sends a shliach to deliver a get to his wife, so it's a very nasty thing. He should be mevatel a get in a way that he won't be able to notify. He doesn't have a telephone, so he can't notify the shliach. He can't notify the wife. The wife is going to think the shliach gave her a get. She's going to think she's allowed to remarry. And the husband was a wise guy. After he sends the shliach, then he's mevatel a shlichus, and she's an eshes ish. So that's a big mechshol. So you're not allowed to be mevatel a get. So that's mepnei tikkun olam. We understand. Then the Mishnah has a series of takonis. Then the Tosefta has another 10-20 takonis mepnei tikkun olam. So one of the takonis mepnei tikkun olam is that the kohen gets the first aliyah mepnei tikkun olam. What do you mean the kohanim are such balei machlokes? We better give them the first aliyah, or they're gonna blow their stack. What do you mean they tikkun olam? Isn't it a din deraisa the kiddushtai the choldavish the bigdusha levtach rishon levarch rishon little money offer rishon? So the Gemara says, yeah, Minatora, that's true. The Kohen gets the first aliyah. But Minatora, the Kohen can be Mechel on his coven and give someone else the right to take the first aliyah. And with the Rabbanan, we don't permit it because one Shabbos is going to be a bar mitzvah, there's going to be an oifruf, and there's going to be a lot of guests. So the Kohen will be Mechel on his coven. Next week, he's not so friendly with the Bali Simcha. So next week, also going to be a big Simcha. And the Kohen says he wants the first aliyah. So it's going to cause friction. It's going to cause machlok. How come last week you were moichal on your kovin? This week you were not moichal on your kovin. So made a takana, the Kohen should never be moichal on his kovin. Sure. That's how the Gemara interprets the Mishnah. So the Gemara there says, Kohen Kairi Rishon is a takana with the Rabbanim from Netikan Oilam. Ba'alo deraisahu. It's based on a pasuk. V'kidashto. Levarach Rishon, he gets the first aliyah. So there's a famous Tosis in Chulin on Daf Pei Vav. We learned it when we spent time on Chulin. The Gemara tells, the Gemara has a din there. It's in today's Sedra, the din of Kisei Adam. When you shecht Chaya V'yof, so there's a mitzvah to do Kisei Adam. When you shecht a bull or you shecht a behemoth, there's no din of Kisei Adam. Behemoth doesn't need Kisei Adam. But if you shecht a Chaya or a knife, then you need Kisei Adam. Who has the right to do the Kisei Adam? So the one, Misha Shochat Hu Yechase, the one who did the Shechit, he has the first crack. He has the schus to do the Kisei Adam. So Gemara tells a story. If I shecht an oif, I shecht chaya or oif, and someone else, and I plan to do the Kisei Adam, and some wise guy runs in and he chapsois the mitzvah, he says the bracha and he does the Kisei Adam. So he stole a mitzvah from me. So the Gemara said, there's a penalty. Rabbi Gamliel made a penalty. You have to pay asara zehuvin because he stole a mitzvah from another person. And then the Gemara says, what if they're mechabit someone the annual shul dinner, and they're mechabit someone that he should bench mezuman? Then another guy runs to the loudspeaker. He says, Rabbi Sayni Varech, and everybody answers, they didn't know they're mechabit someone else. So he stole benching. He stole the schus of the benching. The chairman of the evening was mechabit Reuven with the benching. Then another wise guy runs and he steals it. So the benching, though, the Gemara says, has four brachas. That's the question, how did they calculate four brachas? Should be more than four brachas. So the Gemara says, there, you have to pay 40 zehuvim. Not sure. If he's still a mitzvah that only has one bracha, so you pay 10 zehuvim. If he's still a benching, the right to bench mezuman from someone else who was niskabit with the schus, so then the Gemara says, you have to pay 40 zehuvim. So Tosis tells the Maaseh Shehoya that the Gabbai called up a Kohen to get the first Aliyah, and a wise guy runs up to the Bima, Israel, and he says, Baruch HaSeh Hashem Baruch. People in the Shul are not paying attention. They didn't realize he's not even a Kohen. He grabs the first Aliyah. So Tosis says, you don't have to pay Azara Zehuvim, even though he stole the mitzvah, even though he's not even a Kohen. So Tosis said, because that whole din, the Kiddushta, that the Kohen gets the first Aliyah, that's only an Asmachta. I, the Gemara said the Farish, the Kiddushtai, the Gemara asks on the Mishnah in Gittin. The Mishnah says in Gittin, a series of takonas, b'mnei tikkun olam, so it says, Kohen kohen rishon, b'mnei tikkun olam. Kohen gets the first aliyah, it's a takonah derabban. Frag the Gemara, what do you mean a takonah derabban? I, it's deraisahu. It says, the Kiddushtai, the choldavish shebikdusha, leftach rishon, levarach rishon, leitamani af rishon. So the Gemara says that it's deraisah. So Tosis says it doesn't mean that. It means that it has an asmachta. It's really only a din, the Rabbanon has an asmachta. So if that's not what it means, the Kiddushta doesn't mean you have to be mechabed the coin to get the first aliyah. So what does the Kiddushta mean? So Agamara says what the Kiddushta means. Mark quotes a braisa. Minayin shim loy rotza. The kohen wants to live with a grusha or with a zayna or a chalala. He wants to marry a woman be'iser. How do you know dafenu? You push him and you pressure him. You don't allow him to. You don't let him marry the grusha. Or if he did marry the grusha and he doesn't want to divorce her, he wants to continue living with her. So how do you know that? You have to pressure him to beat him up if need be, to force him to divorce her. That's what it means. It's in the context of the Isuri Kahuna. The Kohen is not allowed to marry a list of women. So he did. So the Gemara is bothered with the question, why do you need a pasuk to say? Why do you need a local pasuk over here? That if the Kohen marries a grusha, be koy for him to give a get. We know that from the general din. Haniklas lonol v'nein adonam la'asos. La'asos means to be ma'aseh. And the pasuk there says, that's the din of Kol Yisrael Areivim Zebezeb. Someone is doing an aveira. We all have a responsibility to stop him from doing the aveira. That's what the Rambam has, such a mashal, that people are traveling on a boat. I think the Rambam has it in Pirush HaMishnayos in one place. People are traveling on a boat, and each person has his own cabin on the boat, and someone has a drill, and he's drilling a hole in the floor, his part of the boat. So the other people say, Meshugane, you're drilling a hole in the boat. We're all going to sing. He says, mind your own business. This is my cabin. But it means my cabin. The water's going to come in. It's going to sink the whole boat. So the Rambam says the same is true. If one Jew does another, I can't say, mind your own business. It's my Gan Eden. It's my Gehenna. I'll burn Gehenna. What is it you're raising? No. If one Jew does another, it's a pekam on everybody. So we already know that from the other psukim that you koyf al mitzvah. So that's Rava's issue over here. Masiv Rava. Rava asked a kasha. He's asking a kasha on the Gemara before. Let's review again what the Gemara said before. The Gemara said before like this. A woman is married and the husband disappeared for a few years. We don't know, alive or dead, we don't know where he is. So two Edom come and say, the husband is dead. We were on the Chevra Kadisha. We buried him. He's dead and buried. So the woman goes and she remarries. Then after she remarries, someone comes. She doesn't recognize him, but he comes with two Edom and they say, this is your husband. Your husband is not dead. Originally two Edom came to say your husband is dead. We're on the Chevra Kadisha. We know that he's dead and we buried him. And now two Edom come with a man and they say that this man is your husband. How come nobody recognizes him? So the Gemara says, like it says, Vayaka Yosef Isecha, Behem Lehikiru. People change over the years. You grow a beard, you know. I saw people today that I haven't seen for years. I didn't recognize them at all. I remember them without a beard tuck, and now they look totally different. Now they have grown children already. So it's possible such a thing. So the Gemara says, does the woman have to get divorced or not? It's Trey Utrey. Two Edom say she's still an Eish Yisish. Two Edom say the husband is dead. So it's a Sofik Deraisa L'chumra. It's a real Sofik Deraisa that Gemara has on the top line on Peches on base. If you do an Avera B'Shoigeg, the Chumash says one who does an Avera B'Shoigeg, which if he would have done the Avera B'Mezid, it would have been an Isur Kares. So one who violates such an Avera B'Shoigeg is Chayv Chatas. What if he does an Avera? What if he does a Sofik Avera B'Shoigeg? If he would have done the Avera B'Mezid, it would have been Kares. And now he's doing b'shoigeg, but it's only a sofik aver, it's not a vade aver. So then the Torah says you bring an oshem toli. It's one of the six hashamas, is oshem toli. So that's when the Gemara says on the top line, if you have two edim say the husband is dead, two edim say here is the husband, this is the husband. So it's trey habu aleha b'oshem toli, it's a sofik deraisa. So you can't allow the woman to remain with her husband, it's like a trey. So the Gemara says with... how come Rav said before you allow the woman to remain with her husband? Gemara says we're talking. We don't know, as far as Bezdin is concerned, we don't know if the husband is alive or dead because two Edom say he's dead and two Edom say here he is, he's alive. It's Trey Utrey. We don't know if the husband is alive or dead. We're talking about a case Nisus Lechet Meyedeho. The woman married one of the two Edom who says the husband is dead. So the man that she's living with now says, I know Hetagama. I know for a fact. I'm on the Chev Kadisha. I know I buried him. I know the husband is dead. And then the wife says, Omer is Borili. She says, I'm staring at this man. to Adam came with a man. They came like, that's her husband. And you don't recognize him because he changed over. The wife says, no, I know Bavada, this is not my husband. It's not the same voice, not the same facial feature. Absolutely not my husband. So the Gemara says, if the two people were not sure if they're doing an Avera, she's Nisus Lechem Me'eder, then there is Barley. She marries, and there's a, as far as we're concerned, these people, the man and the woman, are living together, are doing a Sotik Avera, she's Bokaris, and she'd be a Nisa Oshem Talui. But as far as they're concerned, they claim the Vada it's Mutta. Nisus Lechem Me'eder, the man who's living with the woman says, I know for a fact that the husband is dead, I'm in the Chavik Adisha. And she says, Barile, I know for a fact this man is not my husband. So the Gemara says, in such a case, you're not Koifa. You don't force them to get divorced. We have a Sofik, but they themselves say, we know Bevada, that there's no Sofik. But if there be any case, if there would be a Sofik to the people themselves, then we would be Koifa them to get divorced. Not only are you Koifa people to prevent them, Ma'asin ala mitzvah, you Koifa ala mitzvah, not only if a person is vade doing an avera, if a person is besofik doing a sofik deraisa, also you koif ala mitzvahs. So the Gemara says, Masiv Rava, Rava Yastakasha, and what we learned before, if Nisus Lechem Me'eder, then there is Barili, as far as Bezdin's concerned, they're not sure whether this couple is doing an avera. But the couple themselves claim, we know for a fact, we're not doing an avera. Nisus Lechem Me'eder, then there is Barili. So Rava says, I have a kasha, Masiv Rava. I have a brisa in the Torah's Kohanim on that pasuk, the Kiddashto. It's only an asmachta to say the Kiddashto, you have to be mechabed the Kohen with the first aliyah. What it really means, the Kiddashto bal korchai. If the Kohen marries one of the psulei kuna be'iser, so Bezna has to be koi for them to get divorced. So Rabbi asks, hechidami, what's the case that the Tanoi made a drasha that the Bezin should force the person to get divorced? If the case is the loy nisus lechem eder, the loy kama barili, the woman who's dealing whether she's still an eshes ish, is a husband alive or dead? So she doesn't know if she can't tell if this man is her husband or not. It's so many years the husband is missing, she doesn't know, and the man that she married is not one of the Edom who says bevadai meis bailo. So the Gemara says, if the Torah's Kohanim, if the Drasha on the Pasuk B'Kiddashto, if he should say that the case that it's talking about, the Lois Nisus Lechem Me'eder, or the Loi Kamar Barili, it's not that they're Vadai, that they're not doing an Avera. You need a Pasuk to tell you that you prevent them from doing an Avera. Of course you prevent them. That's the Pasuk. Or Asher Lo Yakim's Dirat Harazos, Haniglas Lono Vareno La Asois. Bezna has to be koifa la mitzvah. They're koifa on a sofik aveira also. You don't need a new drasha. El alav, the Gemara says, Rava is asking, Masa Rava. Rava wants to slug up the whole Gemara from before. So Rava thinks it must be Nisus Lechem Me'eder, the Komer Borili. It must be that's the case. Bezna is not sure whether the husband is alive or dead, because two Edom say he's dead and two Edom say he's alive. Here he is. They say this is the husband. We know that he's alive. So, as far as Bezdin is concerned, this couple is doing a Safik Aver. The couple themselves claim they know Bevada that it's not Aver. She says, Borili, I know for sure. This man in front of my eyes is not my husband. Absolutely not. And the man that she married is one of the Edom who says, I was in the Chavik Adisha, I buried him. I know for sure that he's there. And it must be that the Pasuk goes in that case. Despite the fact that it's Nisus Lechem Me'eder and marries Borili, the people that we're not sure if they're doing an Avera or not, they claim Bevada, we are not doing an Avera. But since it's a Sofik to Bezdin, so that's what it sounds like. Dafenu, that Bezdin is koy for them that they have to get divorced. So that contradicts everything that you said before. The Gemara said before, there's a case of Loitaitzei, a woman was an Aguna, and Adam came and they said the husband is dead, and another two Adam came and said the husband is alive. And the Gemara says, if the man and the woman claim Bavada, the husband is dead, Bezin doesn't check with them. Bezin leaves them alone. So Rabbi asks, so what's the drasha in the Torah's Kohanim on the Kiddash to Bal Korchai Dafenu? It must be in this case. Alma, the Gemara says on the first white line, Alma, what do you see? What do you infer? Mafkin alamine. You see that you pressure them to get divorced. You moitzi the Yishim mitachas bailo. even though she and the husband claim they're not doing an aveira. They claim about that they're not doing an aveira. They know for a fact. But since it's a suffix to Bezin, so you see that the whole thing is wrong. Bezin is kaifa in that case. It contradicts what you're saying. So the Gemara gives a few answers, a few suggestions. So the first answer the Gemara gives is, maybe Issa Kuhuna Shaini. This pasuk, the Kidashta, happens to be speaking about Kohanim. So we want to preserve the institution of Kuhuna. So maybe we're more makbid on a Kohen. It's a little counterintuitive. One would have thought that if a Jew, a person is going to be living with an Esh Ish, that's an Avera for Gantz Klal Yisrael. That's an Issa Misa, that's an Issa Koris. A Kohen lives with a Grusha, it's an Issa Lav. It's not, the world doesn't come to an end. It's not a Chiyuv Misa. It's only Nisa Kuhuna. So one would have thought that you should be more machmer by Eshes Ish, because Eshes Ish is a universal din, applies even to the Goyim, applies to all of Klal Yisrael. A Kohen marrying a Grusha, Zayna Vachalol, is only Kohanim. So the Gemara says, yeah, on the one hand, but on the other hand, Issa Kuhuna Shaini, maybe that's the Pasuk is telling us, that with respect to Psuli Kuhuna, we're more, it's more sensitive, we're more touchy. And even if to the Bezdin it's a suffix, but to the people themselves, not a suffix. He says, Bavada, I'm not doing an Avera. I know for a fact the husband is dead. I want the Chabad Kadisha. I buried him. She says, I recognize this man. He is not my husband. Bavada, he is not my husband. He doesn't look my husband, doesn't talk like my husband. So he's Suri Kuhuna Shaini. We're more Machmer by Kuhuna. Even this is Lech Medav, Mary's Boyle, we would be Machmer. Bezdin would be kind for them to get divorced. But as far as Anishua Veshus Ish, we would not be going for them to get divorced. The opposite from what you would have thought. It's a questionable answer. So that's the first suggestion the Gemara gives. The answer Rava's Kasha Masiv. Rava wants to argue with that whole idea of Nisus Lech Madel, Mary's Barley, well, maybe Issa Kunashai. Then the Gemara says, Vi Boyis Ema, and if you want to, you can give a different, you can say differently. Ema, I can say, My Dachfena Dachfena Beidim. Dafena means we push him. We pressure the husband to divorce his wife. The Gemara says, maybe it doesn't mean we pressure the husband to divorce the wife. No, if Nisa Slechman Deva marries Barili, the wife says, I know for sure that it's Mutter, and the man that to whom she marries, he says, I know for sure I'm not doing an Avera. So maybe even by Suri Kuhuna, we wouldn't chepen them. We would leave them alone. We wouldn't say like the first suggestion, Issa Kuhuna Shaini. But maybe what it means, Dafena means Dafena Be'edim. Bezin should do whatever they can to try to ascertain which of the two pairs of Edim is telling the truth. They should try to put advertisements in the newspaper to get more Edim to be inquired whether the first Edim are telling the truth or the second Edim are telling the truth. So maybe...
That's part of that should do that. That's not good.
It means, so what do you need a pasuk for? Yeah. I don't know. That's a good question. That's common sense dictates like that. I don't know. That was the second suggestion. Then the Gemara gives a third suggestion. The Iboy is Eman. If you want, you can say a third suggestion. Maybe that pasuk dafena that we kai for the husband to divorce his wife, it's takip shot like Rava said. It's nisus lech medav meris barley. The beznin is mesupik, whether the couple is doing an aveir or not. But the couple themselves say, we know bevadai, we're not doing wrong. He says, I know bevadai that he's dead. She says, I know Bivara, this man is not my husband. So we said before that it's hetagomer. If a bezdin is mesupik, what a person is doing an avera. But the person himself says, I know for a fact I'm not doing an avera. So we said before, you let him marry the woman. So now the Gemara says, not so fast. So strictly speaking, Nisus Lech Medav and Mary's Barley really should be Mutter. But there's a, the Rishonim point this out. There's a Mishnah towards the end of the second Perek in Yevamos. There's a lot of important dinim here in Yevamos. Here there's a Mishnah on Chof Dalet on the base. Rumor has it that a man was living with a non-Jewish woman. Rumor has it. And then the non-Jewish woman converts and he wants to marry her. So that looks terrible. Rumor has it that he was living with her already and now she converts. It looks like she converted in order to be able to marry him. That's not right to accept such a convert. So the Mishnah says, Hareza lo yichnois, he shouldn't marry this woman. However, if in kines ematzi miyada, but if he did marry the woman, you don't pressure them to get divorced. So the Gemara says, why is hareza lo yichnais? So the Gemara quotes from Mishle chapter Dalet. It's about the 20th line in the on Chav Dalet on the base, 20th line from the top. The Gemara quotes the pasuk in Mishle, hasa mimchik shusper ulezus vasaim harchek mealecha. I think that's how the pasuk reads. You shouldn't do things that look shady. Hasa mimchik shusper. Then the Mishnah has another din on Chafayim and Aleph. We have a din. The first Mishnah in Gittin says, "I may be get from dinas hayam if a shliach lahaylocha brings a get from chutz loretz." So the Mishnah says at takana de rabbanan, he has to be there when the get was written. He has to be able to say v'fanei nechta v'fanei nechtam. I know for sure that this is a valid get. So the man comes and he shows that he's a shliach lahaylocha, and he gives the documents, and then he gives a get, and then he turns around and then he wants to marry her. So the Mishnah says it looks very fishy. He's the one who brought the get. He said, when you're relying on him, and then he goes ahead and he marries her. Or let's say a woman is an aguna, the husband is missing for years, and a recha comes and says, I know for a fact that the husband is dead. So we have a kula that we're learning in our parak. We have a kula, a recha is believed by Meisbal. So the Eidecha comes and he says the husband is dead. So Bezin says she's allowed to be married. Then she turns around next week, she marries him. Yeah. So it looks like a fake. So the Mishnah says Lachatchila lo yiseh sishtoi, he shouldn't marry her. If the whole heter leinase was based on what he said, that's based on that pasuk in Mishlei. Hasam imcheik shuspeh. But the evidence kines lo yotzi, if he already married her, you don't penalize him. Or the Mishnah has on the next daf on Chofeim and Beis, you have a woman is married, and the woman took a nether which made life impossible. The husband can't live with the wife if she takes such a nether. Took a nether, can't get on off on the husband. So the bezin should be mata nether. If she took a nether, makes life miserable, it should be mata nether. So they went to the local Orthodox rabbi. The rabbi says, the nether that she took, there's no hafara, there's no haftorah, there's no way to undo the nether. So the rabbi says, you got no choice. If life is miserable, you have to divorce her. So they get divorced. Then the rabbi goes and he marries the woman. So if the rabbi was married from before, so the Mishnah says, on chavavim and ala b'kulam, if the rabbi, or the shliach lohaylocha, or the one who said, b'fon ha'nechtav, all of these people, if they're married before, in the days of the Tanoim, it's before the cherem of the Rabbeinu Gershom, that you're not allowed to marry more than one wife. So they had people who were married to more than one wife, but it was very rare. It was very rare. That's what the Tversa writes on Mishnah, is on this Mishnah, on Chavavim and Al. We see from this Mishnah that it was very unusual that a person had more than one wife. It's difficult enough to deal with one wife. You have to marry two wives. You have to deal with two women. Yeah. So let's say the rabbi was a bacher. The rabbi was not married. And they came, the couple had shalom bayis problems, and the rabbi said, there's no way you can't be mata that nether. Life is miserably better, divorce your wife. She gets divorced from her husband, then the rabbi wants to marry her. So the Mishnah says that she shouldn't do it. But if he did marry her, but if nisis, leitaitse. So the same is true over here. If you have trey or trey, two Adam say Mezbaila. Two Adam say Lo Mezbaila. Here is the husband. He's still alive. We know that this is the husband. So if you have Trey or Trey, and it's Nisus Lech Medevim, there is Barili. So that's a problem. After you have Trey or Trey, then she's going to marry the fellow. It's not the same as the cases there, that everything is based on what this one person said. Here the Mishnah says over there, the Mishnah on Chofeim base, let's say a woman needed chalitza. So I was one of the three people on the bezin. Let's say I'm single, I'm not married. I was one of the three people on the bezin for chalitza, and she did the chalitza in our presence. And then later on, I want to marry her. So I was one of three. So then you don't say hasam in teichshespem. Nation who bezin? I'm not the only one. If chalitza would have been done in front of one person, and he signs on the he writes a document, in my presence the chalitza was done and the woman is allowed to marry anybody she wants, then he's going to go and marry her. So that looks fishy. But if he's part of a bezin, she did kneeling in the presence of a bezin, or she did chalitza in the presence of a bezin, then you don't say, then there's not a pam hasam in chik shespeh. He's not alone. So you're going to say, the other guy also lied in order to help me out. You're not afraid over there. So we have a series of mishnayos. We have this concern that the Gemara quotes that pasuk initially, hasam in chik shespeh. So the Rishonim say over here, the same is in this case. If you have trey or trey, two eidim say neis bailo, two eidim say lo neis bailo. So, and the woman says, I know for a fact that this person is not my husband. I know that it's a lie. And she wants to marry the man who testified, I know for a fact that the husband is dead. So she really be het the gomer, but l'chatchil it's not right, because also hasam im chik shespeh. Not the same as the other cases, the series on Mishnah is the end of the second parak. But it's along the same line. So l'chatchil it's not really right that she should marry Nisus Lechem Erdev and marries Barley, you shouldn't do it. So the Gemara had already before a machlekes hatanoim. If first two Edom came and said Meis Bailo, and she married one of the two Edom, and then later on the other two Edom come and say, not true, Lo Meis Bailo. So she married Be'etah. At the time she married, the second pair of Edom had not yet come. So then the Gemara said, no one holds that there's a penalty with the Rabbanu that they have to get divorced. But if you have Trey or Trey, two Edom say Meis Bailo, two Edom say Lo Meis. And she says, Bari Leano, for a fact that this person is not my husband. And the one she marries is one of the Edom, and I know for a fact the husband is dead. So L'chatchila, they shouldn't marry because of Hasam Imchik Shespeh. Would you say, B'di'evet, that so whenever it's Hasam Imchik Shespeh, so the Mishnah says, B'di'evet, and this is Leitaitse, you don't penalize them. But even B'di'evet, they have to get divorced. So here there was a Machlek, Ezra Menachem, B'Rab Yaisi, Atane, and the other Tanoim. Maybe over here it's so improper, maybe it's more improper over here than in the other cases, maybe even B'di'evet should be Teitzeh. So that's what the Gemara says, maybe that's what the Brisa means in the Torah's Kandiki. Dash de Bal Korchai, what's the case? It was Trey or Trey, Nisus Lechem Adam and Meris Borili, but she didn't get married to the Eid Echot, she didn't get married to the Eid until after it was already Trey or Trey. So it wasn't right in the first place that she married him. They violated Hasam Imchik Shespeh. So Rabbi Nachman and Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that there's a penalty with the Rabbanon there, Ani Yomet Teitzeh, that there's a penalty with the Rabbanon, she has to get divorced. So the third suggestion, the third interpretation of the Brice is the Iboy Seima, the second wide line on Pechasam and Beit Moshe, the Iboy Seima, and if you want, you can say a third shot in the Brice and the Toskanim, that the case is talking Shabo Eidem Achakach Nisus. It was already Trey before she got married. If two Edom come and say Meis Baila and then she marries Beheter, there's no it's Akosha top and Akosha level. Two Edom said the husband is dead. So she goes and she marries one of the Edom who said Meis Baila. So then there's no problem. So even though later on another two Edom come and contradict them, it turns out that it's Trey, but it's since it's Nisus Lachmadam, marries Boyle, so you leave it like Taitzi. But the Brisa that says that it is Teitzeh Dafenu V'kidash to Bal Kochai, that's talking, she didn't get married to lift it already was a Trey, and that everyone holds L'chatchila, you're not allowed to marry one of the Edom, even though she says and he says that it's Vadehet to Gomer, that's Hasam Imchik Shespeh. And the Brisa that says Dafenu, it goes like Rabbi Menachem Rabbi Yosi, that he holds that there's a penalty in the Rabbanan, even the Eved Teitzeh. Sure. So those were the three suggestions how to interpret the Brisa in the Torah's Kohanim on the Kiddush de Bal Korcha.
If it's a universal halacha that to be laharchit a person from the Aveiro, why couch it in Kohuna?
Why
mention it in terms of the Kiddush de?
Yeah. So the first pshat the Gemara gave was Yisa Kuna Shani only by Kuna. The other two pshatim were no. Is you learn out the pasuk is here, but you derive from here to call it Tarakula. This. According to the Herb Pshat, it's dealing with a penalty with the Rabbanan. It's not a Drosh Gemura. According to the first Pshat, it sounds like it's a real Drosh Gemura deraisa. The second Pshat, we don't understand. The second Pshat was, you should investigate. Why did you investigate? Bezin should always investigate. Yeah.
Well, what is the investigation of Trey Kameo? So you're going to bring more people?
Maybe we'll make more drishim hakira. Maybe someone will be huzam. Maybe we'll find, do more research. We'll come up with something. It may not turn out in the end to be drinking it. Okay. Fine. So this is all to explain what happened was a couple of weeks ago, longer than a month ago. So we were learning Gemara Pechesam and Aleph. What is it? About 6-7 lines from the bottom. And the line begins with the words, Amarav, Loshan Aleshanisis Beirechod, Alnisis HaPishne Edim, Loiteitse. If two Edim said the husband is dead and the woman remarries, so even though the husband comes marching back home, Shani comes marching back home, she can stay with the second husband. So the Gemara said, that's utterly ridiculous. The husband is alive. How can you say, Loiteitse? Rav lived in Bovel. Rav originally learned in Eretz Yisrael, got smicha from Rabbi Yudah. No, see, the Gemara says, then Rav and Shmuel were both living in Eretz Yisrael. And they knew that in Bovel there was very little learning, so there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. But they felt compelled to move to Bovel to establish yeshivas. So each one went to a different city, they established big yeshivas, and they accomplished a lot of habotzes hater. So Rav lives in Bovel now, and he says this funny din, that if two Edim testify that the husband is dead, then it comes out, the husband comes back alive, she doesn't have to, and she, in between, she married someone, she doesn't have to get divorced. It says, Mechakwa lo b'marove, and Eretz Yisrael, they were making fun of what Rav said. That expression, Mechakwa le b'marove, is a technical term that refers to one of the Amoraim. I forgot already which one. It says on this side, in Sanhedrin, Yud Zayin and Beis, the Gemara tells you who it is. Which one of the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael? Rab is the first generation of Amoraim. So which one of his contemporaries is the one who is making fun? So Mechako, Alei B'Marav, and Eretz Yisrael are making fun of what Rab said. What do you mean? Also, Gavra B'Koi, the husband comes back alive and he's standing in front of us. That's ridiculous. She doesn't have to get divorced from the second husband. But the first husband is alive. Of course she has to get divorced. What does it help that you have two witnesses originally who said that the husband is dead? But we see it's not true. So the Gemara gave the hope shot. No, it's Trey, this is Lechmadem. There is barely a whole interpretation. So now the Gemara says, and I'm in base, no, maybe Ravashi Amar on the third wide line. Ravashi Amar, no, maybe that's not at all what Rav meant. He didn't mean Loit Tate say she can stay married to her present husband. Whenever you have the din is that a nashis ish shezinsa the mazid is a saita vaday. The chumash has a parsha of saita. So the Gemara calls what it says in the chumash kine lo benistra. That's a saita sofik. We don't know whether zinsa lo zinsa. So the Gemara calls that saita sofik. A nashis ish vaday zinsa. That's called a saita vaday. So what if a woman was Insa B'Shoigig? Yeah. What if she was Nansa? She's Nansa, she now says in the Chumash, V'hilon is Pasa. If she was Nansa, she's Materis Labat, unless the husband is a Kohen. So she's a Zayin Asur the Kohen. But if the husband is not a Kohen, and the woman was Nansa, she's Materis Labat. Or, if the woman made a mistake, she thought that this was her husband, and it turned out it was dark in the room, she thought that she's sleeping with the husband, as with someone else. So say she's Insa B'Shoigig. So what's over here? Two Edom come and they say the husband is dead. So the woman with Tmimas goes and she marries someone else. And then it comes out the husband is still alive. So we should say, So we should say she's permitted to go back to the first husband. So we don't allow that. So Gemara gave a whole explanation. Why don't you allow? She should really allow her to go back to the first husband. She's an Eshesish, Shezinsa B'Shoigig. She thought that the first husband was dead. So the Gemara says, really, Mikaradin, this we learned about it. Really, Mikaradin, you should require two Edim to say Meis Baila. Because it's a Dovashim B'Erva. That's what the Gemara said, the whole Daf. Edechanam B'Surim is only if you're talking about Isurim. You're talking about that, whether the woman is an Eshesish or not, that's a Dovashim B'Erva. So you should really require two Edim. It's a special kula that the Chachamim allowed the woman to remarry based on Edechan. How can they allow that? They're not authorized to. She's in violation of the Din HaTorah. The woman is Becheska Seishas Ish. Eidechad is not sufficient by Dovashim B'Erva. So how can they allow the woman to remarry? So the Gemara said, Elosh, Mitachem, Meshachmat, Allah, B'Soifah, Ikalt, Allah, B'Tchilosa. Isha daiko mitzvah. That's the Lashon Gemara. We tell a woman in advance, when the Erechet comes and says, Meis Baila, we tell a woman, look here, min HaTorah, this is not sufficient evidence. You better investigate it, and if you're convinced, if you in your heart, you'll be convinced that this Erechet is telling the truth that your husband is dead, will allow you to remarry. But remember, keep in mind that in case it turns out that it's not correct, in case we'll discover later on your husband was still alive, you're going to have such awful penalties, teitzim mizeh mizeh, and you don't collect ksuba no mizeh v'lo mizeh, and if you have children from the first husband and second husband, we'll all be mamzerim, sometimes min atur, sometimes min derabanan, it'll be gefelach. So that's what the Gemara says, metar choy meshachmarta aleha b'soifo, ikalto aleha b'tchilosa. We tell her in advance, you better investigate, and if it turns out you didn't do a good job in investigating, turns out that you were living the issa with the second husband, and the husband's first husband is really alive, then you're going to suffer all the consequences. So the Gemara says the only time you have all these consequences is if you're relying on an eid echad. But if two eidim come and they say the husband is dead, two eidim is two eidim. That's dovah shebi'ah. But if you have two kosher eidim, you have two kosher eidim. It could, a lot of times you'll have two posel eidim. Let's say an Israeli army. Someone was killed and they buried him. But many of the people in the army are not observant. So the din is that not only is in the Chumash, it only says, Al Toshe Sat Chem Rosh Elias Eit Chomas. A person who compromises on his principles for money, Lahanos Mamen, is not to be believed, because maybe he'll take Shechan and give Eid Sheker. So if a person is a Gazlan, or if a person knows he should keep kosher, but it's much more expensive, so he compromises on his kashrus principles for money. Or let's say he knows you're not supposed to work on Shabbos, but if he'll be a Shem Shabbos, he'll hardly make a parnasa. If he's not a Shem Shabbos, he'll make much more money. So if a person is compromising on his principles, lahanos mamin, that's what it says in Chumash, such a person is posulaitis. What if a person, a Reformed Jew, Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpacha are not from his principles at all? He doesn't compromise on any. Whatever his principles are, he never compromises. But these, he was never brought up. These are not from his principles. So that's a machlokes abayi v'rabbi, whether such a person is posulaitis or not. So we pass on halacha that such a person is posulaitis, but by Eidus Isha we would be mekel. Eidus Isha, we would accept such Eidus. So a lot of times, unfortunately, someone is killed in the Israeli army. The only Eidim who can testify that he's dead are people who are not Shomer Mitzvahs at all, that they're psuli Eidus. But the Rav says like this, when do you have Choy Meshachmat Aleh V'Soifa Isha Daiko Mitzvah, when you have the penalty she needs to get from the first husband, from the second husband, that's only if an Eid Echad comes to say Meis Baal. But if you have two kosher Eidim say the husband is dead, we know for a fact he's dead, so you're not relying on any coolers. Two Eidim is good. So then if the husband comes, turns out to be alive, and it was pashut a mistake all along, then we say she's an Eshesish Shezinsa B'Shegeg. She made an honest mistake. She wasn't mechuyev to make any investigation. Two kosher eidim came, so she goes back to the first husband. She's allowed to go back to the first husband. Really, all the time she should be allowed to go back to the first. Even Eid Echad came, we should say she's an Eish Yisish, she's Zinsa B'Shegeg. She thought the Eid Echad was telling the truth, and it turns out the Eid Echad made a mistake. So Ravashi interprets, Ravashi Omar, Ravashi disagrees with the whole Gemara before. Ravashi was a much later Ravina Rashi with the end of the period of the Amoraim. That's for the Chasimah Satalmud Bavli. And Rav is the first generation of Amoraim. He got smicha from Rabbi Yudah Nasi. So they're not sure exactly what did Rav mean, Loi Teitzei. So the Gemara before thought, Loi Teitzei, she remains with the second husband. Now Ravashi suggests maybe he didn't mean that. What he meant to say was, if Eid Echad came and said, if two Eidim came and said Meis Baila, and then Bezn Hitiru Lehinaseh, so we allow, and then the husband comes back alive, we would permit the woman to go back to the first husband. We don't have the penalty to treat it as if she was an Eish Yisish Shezinsa B'Mezik. We say she's an Eish Yisish Shezinsa B'Shegeg. So that's where Ravashi is giving a different interpretation, totally different interpretation. not leteitzi mi baila hasheni, leteitzi mi hetera harishon. She's still permitted to go back to the first husband. Avashi
oimer. In theory, is there power within Chazal to say, if it turns out that these two Edom who came and testified that he was dead, like it's going to wreck the whole Beis Din, it's going to wreck that we have the power to do Akeinon? Like, is there a way to retroactively justify the Heter, even if the guy walks in?
Why should we?
Because it's terrible. They came into the Beis Din, they testified the guy was dead. Turns out he was alive.
If the Beis Din feels, we very rarely, the Gemara applies Afkin Rabbi condition in very rare cases, very rarely. They show less than 10 cases, I think it's even less than 5 cases in the whole Gemara. Then in the days of the Rishonim, there was a machlokes. Do we today have the right to say Afkinu in a case, let's say a woman is Angun and the husband is a Meshugan and he does want to give a get, do we have the right to say Afkinu? So there was a big machlekes in the days of the Rishonim, and the accepted opinion is that no, we only say Afkinu on those few rare cases that the Gemara has it. The Meitar Kones ben Pnei Tikkunim. Here they didn't feel that it was so necessary to say Afkinu.
If a woman met his condition
tosser? If what?
If a woman met his baser?
No, if she's still an Eishes Ish when the first husband.
Why is she need a grisha? Why didn't she need a get?
The Gemara is going to discuss that. Gemara later on this daf. The Gemara is going to say, Shema Yomru, people will think, Girish Zeb and also Zeb. The Rabbanim allowed her to marry by mistake. They allowed the woman to remarry. Then a rabbi was Masada Kedushin. Then they recorded it in the government, in Eretz Yisrael. The Rabbanot recorded it. And now all of a sudden the husband comes back. How can it be? So the people will think, the rabbis must have ascertained that the first husband gave the get before he disappeared. Girish Zeb and also Zeb. So that's why she needs a get with the Rabbona. That's what the Gemara says about 7 lines from the bottom. Shem Yom, Girish Zeb and also Zeb, and him say, Shish Yetzib Alay Get. Yeah. So again, so Rav Ashi is giving a whole different translation of what Rav said. It's unclear. What did Rav mean? Lay Tetzi. So until now, we were understanding Lay Tetzi. Two Edom came and said the husband is dead, and the woman marries someone else. She marries one of the two Edom. So Lo Teitze, even after the two Edom come and say the husband is still alive, she can remain married to her second husband. And now Rav Ashi says, maybe Rav never said that. Rav Ashi Amer, my Lo Teitze become my Lo Teitze Neheter Harishon. She's still permitted to go. She's allowed to go back to the first husband because we consider an Eshesish as Inso B'Shegeik. So that's based on the pasuk. He learned his pasuk. Neishes ish zinsa b'shegig is muteris. B'shegig means she thought this was her husband. It was dark in the room. She thought it was her husband, or she thought that the husband was dead. Let's say she thought it was muta. She was absent that day in high school when they taught the din of losinov. She never heard the din that a neishes ish is not allowed to have an affair with anybody else. But she knows that she's sleeping with someone other than her husband. So that says in Shulchan Aruch, that's not called an Eishes Ish, Shezintza B'Shoigeg. Because the Pasuk says, Omol Amal B'Isha. It doesn't say Omol Amal B'Hashem. She sinned against the Jewish religion. It says Omol Amal B'Isha. She violated the trust of her husband. If she knows that she's sleeping with someone other than her husband, even though she thinks that it's Mutta, she never knew that there's an Isha. But still, that's Omol Amal B'Isha. There are more quotes that. From the earlier Achrenim. Eishes ish zinsa b'shoigig means it was dark in the room, she thought this was her husband. Or eishes ish zinsa b'shoigig, she thought her husband was dead. She had reason to wait him said, one eight said, the husband is dead. But if it's eishes ish zinsa b'shoigig, she thought it's mutta. I'm a mutta. She never knew that there's an isa l'sinov. But she knows that this, she knows she's married, she knows that this man is someone other than her husband. That's called eishes ish zinsa b'mezit. That's not called b'shoigeg. They had, for many generations, they had wise guys. They would convince an eishes ish that they know a pikabol, a Mashiach has to be born. And someone has to become pregnant tonight in order to bring Mashiach. So they wanted to save the world. So they convinced the foolish, trusting woman. The woman is an eishes ish and her husband is away on a business trip. And the tzaddik, the holy tzaddik, who was the big mekubal, convinces the Eish HaSish that she has to be Mezana with him in order to ratify the ganze Welt. Mashiach should be born. So the Poskim discuss, is that called Eish HaSish is into B'Shegigo B'Meizim? Because they convinced her that it's a big mitzvah. But she knows that she's having znus with someone other than her husband. So that was, unfortunately, that repeated itself many times in the Tshuva literature, that someone would convince a trusting Eish HaSish that Mashiach has to be born today. Yeah.
What was the status of the children from the second husband? The status of the children from the second husband, Mamzerim?
Yeah, for sure. So it would be Mamzerim, yeah. The only question is she Muteris to go back to her husband? Is that called Eish HaSish as Inza B'Shegig? So I think they usually assume that it's not. That's called, she knows that it's not a husband. She knows that it's someone other than a husband. So this is Rav Ashi in terms. My leitetsa the kamer, leitetsa meher terishi. He's allowed to go back to the first husband. Freg the Gemara. Why did Rav have to make that statement? For Amora Rav Chada Zimna. Rav already said it. Why do you have to say it twice? This nan we have a Mishnah Nisis Shaloi Birshus. If the woman, the woman's husband is missing, and she remarried, Shaloi Birshus, she didn't need a heter bezin. If you only have eight echod, then you need a het to bezin. Bezin has to make a whole investigation, and then he tiru alinose. But if you have two eidim, it's an open and shut case. So the Mishnah says, if nisus shaloi bishus, if the aguna remarried and she didn't need a het to bezin, there were two eidim, and then the husband comes back alive, turns out the whole thing was a mistake. So it says, materis lachsalo, she's allowed to go back to the first husband, because it's really Eish HaSish is in Sebeshegik. She thought her husband was dead. The Omar Avuna, Omar Rav. Avuna was the Talmud of Rav, and he says, "Oh, the name of Rav, Hachi Chilchaso." We paskin like the Mishnah. So the Gemara asks, "Why did Rav have to say it again?" Lo Shana Ela. What did he say? Shenisa's Beirecha, but Nisa Pishnei Eidim Loiteitzi Mehetera Harishon. Rav already said it that we paskin like the Mishnah. Moses. So the Gemara says, why did Rav have to say it twice? The Gemara says, he only said it once. He said it once, and someone quoted one half of what he said, someone quoted the other half of what he said. What kind of a kasha is that? Not allowed to say the same thing twice. I say the same thing all the time. I say the same thing year after year. I give the same shiurim, just in a different order. Yavamis is one order, and Bavakam is a different order, and if it's Sanhedrin, it's different. I say the same thing many times over. So the Radzina Rebbe, the one who thought that he discovered the Balat Chelis, he put out the tiny little sefer on one tshuva from the Goyim. There's a Tshuvas HaGoyim that's only around 10-15 lines long. The Goyim had a tradition that they were Esemili de Chasidusa of Rav. That Rav had 10 different Midas Chasidus. So one of them was he wouldn't walk Dalai Lamas without tefillin. And one of them was he would never speak Sicha B'Telo. Miyamav. And one is he wouldn't look Chutz L'Dalai Lamas. What were the others? I forgot about it. There's Emili the Chasidus of Rav. And then the Goyim write that he had the Amoraim, Rav Sheshes, and I forgot Rav Yosef. Who were the two Amoraim who were blind? So they wanted to observe the Esemili the Chasidus of Rav. So some of them were able to, but this Midas Chasidus, not to look Chutz L'Dal Ramas, always to look down like this. This was very difficult. So they decided to blind themselves. So they stared at a glaring light, and they became blind. So they'd be able to Pele Digazach. The Rani Kedushin quotes this story from the Tshuvas HaGoyim, that they caused themselves to become blind in order to observe the Midas Chasidus of Rav. So the Radzina Rebbe has a whole kuntris. What is the source for all of these things? Where does it say this in the Gemara? Where did the Goyim get this idea from? As the Midas Chasidus. He quotes a big Bekiz. He has a fantastic Bekiz. And he has a whole Masama. So one of the Midas Chasidus of Rav was that Me'olam Lasach Sicha B'Tela. Never said Sicha B'Tela. There were other Tanoim and Amoraim also didn't talk Sicha B'Tela, but Sicha B'Tela means about Mila D'Alma, to talk about politics, to talk about the baseball game, to talk about Narishkeit. But let's say you're talking and learning, and you say Barichas, you say it over many times. So the Gemara has a Gemara Chulin, I think. The Gemara quotes a Pasuk in Eov, Adam la'amal yulad. Man was created to work. Adam la'amal yulad. So the Gemara says, what does it mean? La'amal malacha, that people have to work. No, that was a punishment. After the chet of Eitz Hadas, Zeus HaPech HaTechlach, they have to work. That's not Adam la'amal. The Gemara says, la'amal peh. He should talk. Amal means la'amal peh. What kind of la'amal peh? To talk sikha. The Gemara says, no. To talk divrei Torah. So the Chafetz Chaim has a whole essay. Chafetz Chaim has a lot of essays, not to do with Lashon Hara. Has a whole essay about that. He says, you're not allowed to talk Sikha B'Tela, but if you're talking and learning it, you say the same thing over 15 times in order to explain it better. So that's not enough, Erev Sikha B'Tela. So Rav was machmer on that. Rav's Midas Chassidus was, he would Meyodam Lasoch Sikha B'Tela. In learning, he would say Bekitzer. Whatever was necessary, he would say. He wouldn't say an extra word. So the Radzina Rebbe in that Kuntres quotes a Gemara in the end of Shabbos. The Gemara says someone came to visit Rav on Shabbos and there were no chairs to sit on. So Rav asked someone, could you please bring in a chair so Pliny can sit on the chair? So the Gemara fracked Akash on Rav. He should have just said, please bring in a chair. Why did he say that Pliny should sit on the chair? It's like Sikha B'Tela. What kind of Sikha B'Tela? He just finishes the sentence. So that's what the Radzina Rebbe says. No, Rav was so nizer in the Sikha B'Tela, when he spoke in learning, he would say, mamish the bare minimum. He would never say the same thing twice. He already said it. The Talmidim already heard it. And when he needed a chair, he would say, please bring a chair. Why did he have to say that Pliny should sit on it? And so the Gemara said, because he means to say that even Klisha Malachta Leheter, you're not allowed to handle unless it's mamish Letzor Kufa. If it's not the Tzar Kufa, you're not allowed. The Gemara makes a whole deal. Why did he say? So he said, this kasha that the Gemara says, why did Rav say it? It's only a kasha on Rav. They would never ask such a kasha. On Shmuel, on Rabbi Yechanan, on Abai, on Rava, there's not a kasha. Adam lamo yumad goes on lamal peh. You talk and learning. You talk and learning, you say full sentences, and you say the same thing twice, and nothing wrong. But Rav had such a midas chasidus, he wouldn't say an extra word unnecessarily. So that was the Gemara's kasha. Why did Rav? That's the same thing that he said on the Mishnah. Gemara says, you're right. Gemara says, Chodim Echlal D'Chavatit. He only said it once, he never said it twice. Okay. That is the Gemara.
What kind of Midas Chassidus is it? Now we have a whole Daf Gemara where we're trying to figure out what he meant. He just said it clearly.
He said
it a few times.
That's a very strong kasha. I hold like the kasha. I don't know. I don't understand what the sikha. I don't know why it's sikha b'tel. I remember the first time I print when I got married. So the first time I printed a Dvar Torah, so I usually write b'kitzer. So my father-in-law was upset. He says, "Was karkst of that? Why are you so cheap on the words? Write a full sentence. Write a full paragraph. Explain it a little better." I thought I did explain it well. He wanted me to write it better. My father-in-law wrote the Reb Shimon Shkop needed someone to rewrite the Shari Yosha for him. So he contacted the Mashgiach Reb Yeruchim in the Mir Yeshiva. He needs a boy who knows how to write Hebrew well. So my father-in-law went there for a while and he wrote the Shari Yosha. So the Shari Yosha has a lot of malitzas. It has so many malitzas that sometimes you're not sure what he said. It's sometimes a little too fancy. So the stipler writes every so often, Kamadumali, he thinks that that's what Reb Shimon wrote in Shari Yosha. He's not always sure what he meant, because it's so many malitzas, it's so much barichas. Sometimes it throws you off. Yeah, but here it's clearly a problem. Okay, now starts a new Gemara. You should really have Nekuda time over here. Chod Mechal Chavata Itmar. There should be two dots, and now start a new paragraph. Amar Shmuel, a new din, unrelated to everything that we had. Amar Shmuel, well, not exactly unrelated, but a new topic. The din only by which din? He doesn't tell you what din he's talking about. It makes a difference in din whether we're talking about the Aguna remarried, and Adam come and say the husband is dead, the husband is alive. So Shmuel says, it makes a difference, does she contradict the Edom, or does she not contradict the Edom? Lo shanu elo, shalom akhishosa. This din, we don't know what din yet. The Gemara is going to break the head to figure out what din is he talking about. So the din only applies if the aguna herself is not contradicting the witnesses. Avol makhisha say, but if she's contradicting him, the witness, loy teitze, then she doesn't have to get divorced. So the Gemara says, what in the world is, what's the context? What case is he talking about? What happened, Abi? But my askina, what happened that he says it makes a difference whether she's makhish or not? So the Gemara says, Ilema, if you should say, the betray, two witnesses come and say, the woman remarried, and two witnesses say, the husband, we know for a fact the husband is alive. Sure. So the Gemara says, what does it help if she's makrishasa? Any makrishasa? To aid him say the husband is alive, she has to get divorced. Ilema again, the betray, two witnesses say the husband is alive. So what does it help? When she'll contradict the two Edom, my happy, you believe the two Edom. So must be, he's not, Shmuel is not talking about a case where two Edom say the husband is alive. Ela bechad, that what? One aid said the husband is dead, and one aid says the husband is alive, and then it matters, what does she say? So if she contradicts the one who says the husband is alive, she says, not true, the husband is dead, then she doesn't have to get divorced. And she says, I don't know if the husband is alive or dead. The first aide said, one aide said the husband is dead. Second aide said the husband is alive. She said, I have no idea. So then she has to get divorced. So the Gemara says, is that true? Is that halacha true? Time in the makrishasa. The only reason why she doesn't have to get divorced, the aguna, the husband was missing for years. Then Eid Echad came and he said the husband is dead. Then the woman remarries. Then the woman didn't remarry, whatever. She didn't remarry yet. Eid Echad says the husband is dead. Then a month later, she can't find the shidduch in a month. Then a month later, and Eid Echad comes and says, not true, the husband is dead. So is she allowed to remarry or not? Depends. If she says, the second guy, I know for a fact the second guy is lying, and the first one is telling the truth, then she may remarry. And Hoshoska, but if she doesn't contradict the second one, she says, I don't know, then takes it. Then she has to get divorced. Frag the Gemara, the din is not true. The din is just not true. But Ha'amar Ula formulated the din, and that is the halacha. We don't, Shmuel is not going to disagree with Ula. But Ha'amar Ula said, Ula was an Amara who lived in Eretz Yisrael, he came to Bava. So what's one of the dinim that he said, Kol Mokem Shemina Tered Echad, Harekan Shnaim, the Dvarv Shalechot, Ben Mokem Shnaim. So Pelu Dikadin. So in Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Mukhi Yosef usually on the Rif, usually the commentary on the side is the Ran. And once in a while, instead of the Ran, it's the Mukhi Yosef. The Mukhi Yosef was later than the Ran, a later Rishon. So the Mukhi, here on Yeramis, it's the Mukhi Yosef. So on Brachas, you have the Rabbeinu Yonah, and on Erevin, it's a different Rishon. Forgot about it. Huh? Erevin is different Rishon on this side. So the Nebuchadnezzar Yosef, the Taz and Yeridea quotes the Nebuchadnezzar Yosef, it quotes the Ritva. And that's the generally accepted opinion. This din of Ula only applies in three cases. It means like this. The same Meis Bailo, it's really a Dovsha B'Yerva. So you should really require two Kashra Eidim. But there's a special Nemonis Midirabbanan Alpi Pashtas. They decided Rabbi Akiva was in prison, and then they sent one of the Tanaim in front of the prison, and he said that's the tradition from the earlier generation. They were Mekel, Eid Echad is good. We usually assume it's Midirabbanan. We'll have to learn the whole Sugya that's coming up. We mentioned, I think, the Nodi Behuda has a tshuva where he quotes the Pnei Yeshua. We used to looking at the Pnei Yeshua. Pnei Yeshua is a pilpul sefer on the Gemara. But during his lifetime, that's after he passed away, during his lifetime he was known as a big Pesach. There were two Gedolim who were contemporaries, the Crazy Plesi, Rabbi Yonis and Abishitz. So during his lifetime he was known as a big Baal Pilpul. He lived in Hamburg, he lived in Germany, and it was against the law to have Gemaras. And Talmidim came from all over Europe to learn by him, and they knew they couldn't have Gemaras. And he would say the Gemara Balpeh, the Rashi Balpeh, the Tosis Balpeh, and make diukim in the Lashonis of Rashi and Tosis. He make diukim lach. He was known during his lifetime as a big Baal Pilpul. And the Pnei Yeshua is done during his lifetime. It's a big Paisik. It's a big Ma'ir Ha'ra. And the Nadi Yehuda a few times says, Pnei Yeshua, Kvahai Razakin, Shahiz Gepaskin, that's it. You can't argue with the Pnei Yeshua. But each one wanted to show the world that Pnei Yeshua wanted to show not only can he Paskin, he knows how to say Pilpulim on the Gemara also. So he wrote Pnei Yeshua's. So he went down in history as a big Baal Pilpul. We don't have any of the Psokim. We have very few of the Psokim of the Pnei Yeshua. And Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz, during his lifetime, he was known as a big Baal Pilpul. He wanted the world to know that he knows how to Paskin also. So he wrote on Chosh Mishpah, he wrote the Urim V'Tumim, and on Yeridei, he wrote the Crazy Placey. In the history, he went down as a big Paisek. They don't quote any of his Pilpulim. He only quotes the Hairoas that he gave. So the Nadi Behuda has a tshuva where he discusses the Heter Eid Echad. Why do you accept Eid Echad by Meis Baila? It's a wild din, man. I'll tell you, you need two kosher Eidim. What's going on? So he says, no, there's a drosha in the Sifrei. And the Pasuk, Lo yakam Eid Echad ish l'chalav and l'chal chatas b'chal chayta sheyechto al pi shnayim Eidim al pi shlosh Eidim yumas ha-meis lo yumas al pi Eid Echad. That's a Pasuk. So it says, Lo yakam Eid Echad b'ish and Eid Echad will not be accepted to testify about a person that he did an Averit that he deserves Malkus Hamisa. That's the Pashup Pshat. So the Sifrei has a drush on the Pasik, Le'yokim Eid Echad Be'ish Avol Komhu Be'isha. Eid Echad is not believed on a person to say that he did an Averit, but Eid Echad by Meis Baila is acceptable. Avol Komhu Be'isha. So he says it's a drasha. The Eid Echad is Neman by Meis Baila. Then it's Daraisa. That's what the Pnei Yeshua says. But the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says, why would they make it? Either because Milsa David el Glui la Mishakir Yimshi, or because Daiko Minsva Metachem Shachmat Aleb Sofa, he called Aleb Tchilas. The Gemara doesn't say that reason. So the Pnei Yeshua, quoted by the, I don't think it's in the Chidusha Pnei Yeshua, the Nadi Behuda quotes the Pnei Yeshua saying, the Gemara is explaining why didn't they make a Chumra Midirabonim. In our Torah we know Eid Echad is Neman, because Le'yokem Eid Echad B'ish, Avol Komhu B'isha. Eid Echad is Neman by Agunas. But Midirabonim, they should have made a Chumra that you should need to aid him. The Gemara says, no, Daikul Ninsava, or because Milsa Avedi Le'gluik. These are reasons why not to introduce a Gzera Midirabonim, but we rely really on their Pasuk. The Nemanis of Eid Echad is really on the level of their eyes.
But then why are you being constant her? We say that because she was she went on of the Eid Echad, then you constant her.
Yeah. So the simple reading of the Gemara is not like that. But the Pnei Yeshua during his lifetime was so revered. So the Nadi Behuda is Karei Mishtakva. He said that's it. He accepts the Hara Zaken. He accepts the Psak of the Pnei Yeshua. This simple reading of the Gemara is certainly not like that. So really by Aguna you should really have required to aid him. It's a Dovish Be'avish, you need to aid him. Then there are another two cases where you should really need to aid him, and the Halacha says Eid Echad is good. Here by Aguna you should really need to aid him, and it's only with the Rabbanan that Eid Echad is good. It's not even in Torah. I'll be Pashas. The other two cases, Rashi quotes one of them, and the other one Rashi does not quote. The other one is by Soito. If a man, let's say, an Eid Echad comes and tells a husband that your wife had an affair with someone else. So the din is that Einira Pachas Mishnayim. Eid Echad by Dovish Be'er is not even a suffix. The woman is Becheskes Hetta Labaila, so Eid Echad doesn't shake up the Hetta Labaila. But if the woman is a Soita Suffix, Kini Lovin Istra, the husband is Cheshit, his wife, that there's something fishy going on. So he warns her, Altistri Mishplaini, because I'm Cheshed your business. If he says, Altistri Mishplaini, because I don't like him, so that's not called Kinli. He says, don't let the person into the house, I don't like him, that's not called Kinli. But he says, don't let Plaini into the house, don't be alone with Plaini. Let's say, Baila Ba'ir, so there's no Issa Yichud, according to most of the Mishnayim. If the husband is in town, so there's no Issa Yichud, even if the wife is shopping in a store, even if the husband does know where his wife is. There's no Issa Yichud. Or let's say, a girl with her father, there's no Issa Yichud. So let's say the husband is Cheshed, that his wife is having an affair with her own father. So she's not in violation of Yichud. It's mutter to have Yichud with your own father. But if the husband is Cheshed, so he says, Artistry, don't be mistateris with your father. I'm Cheshed, your business. And then she does steer, then she, there was kinui asteris, and then she's asura misofek. So if there was kinui, we have two edim that there was kinui, we have two edim that there was stira. And then there's an edechot that says that I was there when the stira took place, and the woman was mezana, then the Gemara lays out from the pasuk, edechot is neman. By acha kinui asteris, because hare raglaim ledover. Since it was kinui and it followed its stira, edechot says he was in the room and he saw that she was mezana, so then edechot is neman. So really also, you really should have required two edim, because it's a davish of the arvah to say that a woman is asur al baila because she's a saita, because zinsa. So the Torah was mechadish eidechad is believed. So then you say kalmakim rule ulas kal kalmakim shemina Torah eidechad arei kan shnayim. We consider it as if you have to aid him because mikra. Then you really should have needed to aid him to say that zinsa or to say that meis baila. And the third case is by egla rufa. The Torah has an institution. The Torah, one of the taryag mitzvahs. Torah has a mitzvah of egla rufa. If kimat tichol bad only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Kimat tichol bad doma, Hashem Shemalkech nos l'machal l'vishti. You find someone was murdered. Chol means it was murdered. A Jewish body murdered in Eretz Yisrael. You have to measure to the city's slivus hachol, and the city that's closest to the murdered person has to bring an egla rufa. So the pasuk says lo no dami hiko. The whole institution, the whole mitzvah of Egla Rufa only applies if you don't know who the murderer was. Let's say there's an Eid Echad who says, Ra'isi Ahareg, I know who the murderer is. So Eid Echad is not going to be sufficient to give the death penalty to the murderer. You need two Eidim. But still, the Gemara learns out from the Pasuk, Eid Echad says, Ra'isi Ahareg, I saw the man murder him, and he can identify who it is. So the whole Parsha Begla Rufa doesn't apply. So the Shev Shmaitz explained, because Me'ikered Din, you really should have needed two Edim to say, Reisi Ahariki, trying to identify who the murderer is. That's Dinin Fashas. Dinin Fashas, you need two Edim. But the Torah's Mecharish, even Eid Echad is believed to say, Reisi Aharik, that you don't bring an Egla Rufa. So then in these three cases only, that's how we assume in Yeridah. In these three cases, Eid Echad by Neis Baila, because Mi'ikered Din, you really should have required two Eidim. It's really a Dovah Shabbat to say the husband is dead. And the case, Eid Echad by a Saita Sofek, if the Kini Astir Eid Echad says, I was there in the room, and she's Temeo, she was Insa. So then, Mi'ikered Din, you really should have needed two Eidim. It's a Dovah Shabbat to say that the Saita Asur Al Baila, that she has to get the worst. And the third case is Reisi Ahoreg. It should really be considered like Dinei Nefashos. She really required two Eidim. So it's a Chiddush HaTorah. L'adada Meiko Eid Echad is Nema to save Reisi Ahoreg. So then in these cases you say, Kol Mokam Shemin HaTorah Eid Echad Harei Kan Shnayim. What does it mean? So in Yeshivas everybody says over Rav Chaim Soloveitchik has a safe on the Rambam. Rav Chaim explains it Bahar Chodeh, the whole Pshat. Those who don't learn Rav Chaim say the exact same shot, the Shach and Yerideh has the whole shot. The whole Rab Chaim is in the Shach. Rab Chaim has part of it a little sharper than the Shach, but most of it is black and white. The whole thing is in the Shach. So the Shach explains, the one who says Meis Baila is a Chiddush that he has no manas. If someone comes and says, Loi Meis Baila, the husband is still alive and the woman is still an Eishes Ish. So that's called Davish Abiyar, but to say that the woman is an Eishes Ish, to say the woman is not an Eishes Ish, either direction is a Davish Abiyar. To say Meis Baila, there's Nemanis. The Chachamim gave Nemanis to say Meis Baila is Neman. The one who says Loi Meis Baila is Nishpag Loi. It's an Eid Echad by a Davish Abiyar. The same thing to say that Zinsa, after Kini Astira. So to say whether Zinsa or Loi Zinsa, if he says Zinsa, so she has to get divorced. If he says Loi Zinsa, she's not a Saita Vadai, she doesn't have to get divorced. So to say Zinsa, Loi Zinsa, you really should have required two Eidim. Torah gave a special namonis if the Kini Astirish Arei Laglaim Ledover, that's the Gemara in the first daf in Saita, Laglaim Ledover. So if the Erechot says Zinsa during that Stira, so then the Torah gives namonis to the Erechot. But the other Erechot who contradicts him and says later on Loi Zinsa, he doesn't have namonis. It's Eid Echad on the Dovah Shabbat, but doesn't have the manas. And the same thing to say Reisi Ahoreg. The one that says to say I know who the murderer is. The other one says you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know the murderer. You didn't see it. So to say you do know it, you don't know the murderer, that's really Din in the Fashas. You should really require two kosher eidim for that. But it's a chiddush haTorah that the eid echud says reisa horeg is bagloit. He is believed. The one who says lo reisa haHoreg, you don't know what you're talking about. You were not there. You didn't see the murderer. So he shouldn't have any nemanis. You should really require two eidim.
Say bagina deboro, because the gabber to kill the one who says he's a murderer, that we don't believe, but we believe that there was a person there. So you don't have to.
So that's what the Shev Shmaitz explains. The whole idea of Reisya, the whole idea of Egla Rufa, what's the whole mitzvah of Egla Rufa all about? So the Shev Shmaitz quotes, very unusual, he quotes from the Mar Nevuchim. Usually he quotes Gemaris with Rishayim. So I think he quotes over here the Mar Nevuchim. The Rambam writes in the Mar Nevuchim, what's the reason for the strange din that you take an Egla and you chop off the neck? And Nachaleisan, the whole thing is such a strange mitzvah. So the Rambam says, we want to make a big pirsum that someone was murdered, in the hope that maybe witnesses will step forward, like a lot of times on the news. They say there was a murder, and the police ask, whoever knows any information, please call this number, and we'll keep your name secret. You won't tell anybody who it is. So the Rambam says, that's the reason for this strange mitzvah of Egla Rufa. You have to do something very strange. So we should have pirsum all over in all the newspapers, on the radio, on the air, so everybody should hear there was a murder, and because we'll make such pirsum, because it's such a strange mitzvah, so maybe witnesses will step forward and testify who the murderer is. So you want to have the whole idea of Reisi Ahorik, that you don't bring Egla Rufa, is because you have witnesses. You have someone who knows who the murderer is. So to ascertain who the murderer is, you should really need two eidim. So it's a chiddush haTorah that eid echud is believed. So that's what Ula says. Ula says, kol mokum shamid haTorah, not kol mokum, every single case. These three cases, where you really, Egla Arufa, and Neis Baila, and what was the third case? And Saita Safik, after Kini Estir Aglaim Ladova, these three cases, the Torah accepts the testimony of the Eid Echad as a full birur. In two cases, it's deraisa, by the Saita and by the Reisya Horeg Egla Ruf, it's deraisa, and by the Meis Baila, it's only midirabbanan al pi pashta, not like the Pnei Yeshua. But it's Harei Kan Shnayim, we accept their testimony. So if Eid Echad says Meis Baila, and then next week an Eid Echad comes and says Loi Meis, you don't say it's chad legabichad. If you have two eidim, say meis baila, two eidim, say lo meis. So you don't know who's telling the truth. It's trade to trade. If you have one eid says meis baila, one eid says lo meis baila. Also, it's chad legabichad, so you don't know who's telling the truth. That's what Ula says. It's not chad legabichad. The one who says meis baila has nemanis. Harei kan shnayim. The chachamim gave him nemanis. But the one who says reisi ahorig, the Torah gives him nemanis. The one who says lo reisi ahorig, doesn't have them on this. To say Loi Reisa, it goes back into the category of Din and the Fashis. You should need two Eidim. So it's not Chad Gabi Chad. The first one, the one who, not who comes first, who comes second. The one who says Meis Baila, or the one who says Nitma'o by the Saita, or the one who says Reisi Ahoreg, if he comes first, he has them on this. And the one who comes after him to say Loi Meis Baila, Loi Reisi Ahoreg, doesn't have them on this. So it's not Chad Gabi Chad. It's not Chal Gabi Chad. The first one has namanis, and the second one doesn't have namanis.
Two actual aidim came, what's the case?
No. But if one aid came and said, Meis Baila, then two aidim come and say, Lai Meis Baila, then you don't say, Kom Lokum Shemin, Ator Eid Echad, Rekan Shad. Only if an Eid Echad comes later. So it's not Chal Gabi Chad. But if later on two aidim come, so you no longer say, Kom Lokum Shemin, Ator. That is correct, that the Gemara has.
But if his Doraisa believed that he knows who murdered, so why don't they get him to the prison to execute him? He's like to aid him.
That's Pagina Dibura. You only believe... I didn't understand. That's what you mean. Oh, he says, Reisya Horeg, we believe him that you don't bring an Egla Rufa, but you don't believe him to give the death penalty.
Adedekach,
you don't give him. Yeah. By the Soita is Takanatza. Let's say the husband is Kini Lovin Istra, the wife is a Soita Safek. And then Eid Echad comes up and he says, I was there in the room, when they did the stira, and she was Zinsa. So the Rambam says we believe him, and she becomes a Soita Vadai. If the husband will not live with his wife, the husband will get Malkus. We believe him 100%. We believe Mahad. We believe the Erechud says that Zinsa.
We won't put her to death.
No.
We don't believe him 100%. We believe
him. Right. Okay. We believe him even Legabi to give Malkus to the husband later if the husband would go Alishta. Okay. Okay. It's also a little bit Pagin Libor. Okay. So that's Ula's Din. That's Ula's Din. So again, the Gemara now thought that Rav said a din that if you have Erechu, it says Meisbailah. And next week an Erechu comes and says, let Meisbailah. So what does the Isha say? If she's Makhisha, so she says he's lying, and I know for a fact my husband is dead, then you let her stay with the second husband. But if she's not Makhisha, so she's your second, so I don't know whether the husband is alive or dead. I married because the Fei Erechot said the husband is dead, so I remarried. And then after she remarries, then another Erechot comes. So then they understood Rav is saying, if she's not Makhish, the one who says Lemeis, then she has to get divorced. Well, what are you talking about? The din is not true. Since the Erechot said Meis Baile, he's Bagloip, and the one who says later Lemeis, it's not a Chad Legabi Chad. One says Lemeis is not believed. It's a double Shabir. It cannot be that Rav disagrees. That din of Ula is Makubal.
How would it be that she doesn't know?
We
said before,
you
should
die
for
principle.
She already got married because she checked out. She made an investigation.
She checked out a little bit, and now she said, I don't. I have no personal knowledge. My feeling is that I think the Erechot is telling the truth. Okay. She thinks that he's telling the truth. So the Gemara says it cannot be. The Gemara is going to have to give a different shot. Okay. We'll have to spend some time on this. Here there are Rambams and Ravids. There's a lot of interesting discussion over here. Well, you know, we'll have to continue next week. In Parsha Sachrei Mois, you have the Seidu HaVoid on Yom HaKippurim. So it's very interesting. So there is a Gemara in Zvochem in the first parak. If a kohen is a Balmum, he cannot do HaKrobis HaKarbon. Sukkim HaChumash. What if the kohen is Nishkin Balmum? He has... This can't be a klisharis because it's a paper cup. It has to be metal. So let's say there's a metal cup and it's a klisharis and it has dam. So the kohen has to be zorek the dam on the mizbeach. So let's say the kohen is standing a foot away from the mizbeach and he throws the dam towards the mizbeach. Before the dam lands on the mizbeach, it'll take a second, half a second. Before the dam lands, his finger gets broken. He breaks his finger. So at the time that he threw the dam, he was not a balmum. But it's a Gemara. But before it lands on the Mizbeach, never going to happen in a million years, but the Gemara says an abstract. So the Gemara says, it's possible. Someone has to do the Avodah again, because since he was a Balmum before the Avodah was landed, before the Dam landed on the Mizbeach, it's a Teiklish. So Rav Soloveitchik, when he was in Berlin, when he was studying university, he used to correspond with his father. His father lived in Europe, then his father moved to America, and he used to write him the return. So sometimes he would send the letters to his uncle, Rav Elvala, also. So he sent the whole shtickle to Torah. So Rav Elvala sent him back a response. In the end of the Sefer Chidushei Rav Elvala al Rambam, Chidushei Agriz al Rambam, so they have the two of the letters were sent to Rav Soloveitchik when he was in university. They started Chazitzi Leakiri. My dear nephew, he wrote a whole shtickle Torah. He agrees with part of it, he disagrees. So he quotes in the name of Rav Simcha Zelig, who is the Dayan in Brisk. He was a Dayan under Rav Chaim, he was a Dayan under Rav Elvel. He was killed by the Nazis, I think. It was till the war. He was a Dayan in Brisk. So he interpreted, based on that, Gemara Zvachmi, he interpreted the din in the Rambam, that the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, in addition to the haktoris that you do every day of the year on the mizbah haktoris in the heichal, Kohen Gadol has to have ktoris hamim daka min adaka and take it into the kodesh hakadoshim. There's no mizbeach over there, so he goes in with the kafa machta. He puts the machta with gecholim on the floor, and he takes mloch hofnav ktoris hamim daka. He takes a fistful like this, and he puts it on the machta on the floor, and he's machta the ktoris on the floor. He's marked it on the floor. So the Rambam writes that the din is, I don't remember if it's in the Mishnayos like that, but the Rambam writes the din is that the Kohen Gadol has to stay in the Kodesh of Kodoshim ad sheyismaleh habayis kulo elshem. What if he has asthma? What if he has a problem with his lungs? It's not so healthy to stand in a room that's going to be full of choking smoke. So that's the halacha. He has to stand there in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, ad sheyismaleh habayis kulo elshem. What kind of a din is that? So Rav Soloveitchik had a whole suggestion, and his uncle said, it's interesting what you wrote, but Rav Simcha Zelig said the following pshat. Based on that gemara, that if the coin is zorik the dam and it becomes a balmum, a finger gets broken off before it lands on the mizbech, it's puzzle. So he said over here also, the coin has to be marked to the k'toris, and the mitzvah is not completed, ad sheyismaleh v'chisanan k'toris es hakaperes asher ha'idus v'lo yamus. Puzzle v'chisanan k'toris. So the maisa that the Kohen Gadol does, he takes the malach off the k'toris on the dock and he throws it on the gecholim on the machta on the floor, but the mitzvah is not completed until the whole Kodesh HaKadoshim is full of smoke. So the Kohen Gadol has to stand, you have to do avodah b'amida, he has to remain with the big dekun gedola in the Kodesh HaKadoshim till ad sheyismaleh habayis kulo yoshem. So then the avodah took effect, so then he's allowed to leave. So Rav Soloveitchik explained, the same is true, based on what Avdalvola wrote him, what Rav Simcha Zelig said. So he says, and now he understands another din, that it says that Kohen Gadol has to take this soil azazel and give it biad ishiti. Ishiti is not a Kohen. Ishiti, they pick someone, and has to take it to the tzuk, the chiyosa la tzuk. So till he goes to the tzuk to push over the cliff, he has to push the soil lazazel over the cliff. That's quite, I think, what is it, 11 mil, 10 mil, 11, I forgot, it's a long distance. It'll take a few hours to get there. But it says the Kohen Gadol, after he gives the soil lazazel to the Ishiti, has to stand for an hour in the Azara. He's not allowed to sit in the Azara, any Yeshiva Bazar, and he can't do the next Avodah yet. All the Avodahs have to be done in order. So the shiluach hasoyer lazazel, the shiluach hasoyer lamidbar. Excuse me. You have to do shiluach hasoyer lazazel to push it over the cliff. That's done by the ishiti, but the shaloch osa hamidbara. But the shiluach hasoyer lamidbar is considered that it's done by the Kohen Gadol from the azara. The gemara learns that from the pasuk that the ishiti ishiti afila betuma, like the bayadoi. I feel the betuma, I feel the b'shabbos. The Gemara said the same, ishiti bismanoi. So even betuma, even if the ishiti happens to be tamei, and usually a tamei is not allowed to enter the azar, but here you have no choice. They can't switch to someone else. The ishiti has to be designated on Erev Yom Kippur. So they singled out this person, then he became nitma. So he's permitted to enter the azara for the purpose of taking the sor azazel to the midban sor. Why does he have to go into the Azara? Because the Kohen Gadol has to give it to him in the Azara. The Kohen Gadol can't go out of the Beis HaMikdash and give him this soil Azazel. He has to give it to him in the Azara, in his standing position. And then the Kohen Gadol can't begin to do the next Avodah till he gives his soil Azazel, till he gives his soil Amidbar, the Mishnah says. And that's 3 mil. It takes 2.5 minutes. It's a sheer mil. Mishnah Berurah always writes that a sheer mil is 18 minutes. So Professor Leo Levy writes in his book, he quotes the Achrayim, that idea, 18 minute matzah, everything is 18, sheer mil. So he said that was based on a different clock system, that they had more minutes, they had fewer minutes in an hour, and 18 minutes by them was 22 and a half minutes by us. He quotes the Achrayim say that. It's based on the Gemara, it's Beferish in the Gemara. So it took till he gave asor le midbar, tchilas ha midbar, took 3 mil. So that 3 times 22.5 minutes, I think, something like that, 22.5 minutes. So it's a little over an hour. So the Kohen Gadol gave over the sor lazazel to the ishiti. Then he had to stand there in the azara. He can talk and learning, but he can't sit down and he can't leave the azara. Because it's like the Kohen had done this Rika Saddam and it didn't land yet. Or the Kohen who thirds the Malachovna of Ktara Samem Daka on the Machta, on the Gecholim on the Machta, and it wasn't yet the Smala Habayis Kula Ashen, the Avodah wasn't completed yet, even though all he has to do was completed. but it didn't finish the happening what's supposed to happen. So here also, the Kohen Gadol has to be Mishaleach the Sar Lazazel LaMidbar, and until he gi LaMidbar, the Kohen Gadol didn't finish that Avodah yet. So he's not allowed to do that. He's not allowed to go to the next Avodah until they notify him he gi Sar Lazazel. So every single Yom Kippur, this would go on. There would be a pause in the middle of the Avodah for an hour and 10 minutes. An hour and 10 minutes. 3 mil is something like an hour and 10 minutes. So in Europe, there used to be different minhagim. So in some communities, and by the Ekkes, they say so many piyutim and so many slichas that they have no pause at all. They daven all day long. In other communities, there was paid a dafke to have a pause in between Musaf and Mincha, to have a pause of an hour and 10 minutes. Zecher l'Migdash, because in the Beis HaMikdash there was a pause when they did nothing. They had to wait till he gia asoy letchilas amidbar. After he gia amidbar, so the Kohen Gadol finished the red. Kohen Gadol has to stand in the azara till the ishiti goes to the midbar. So it's considered as if that's the completion of what the Kohen Gadol did. Now the ishiti has to push it over the cliff. That's he has to do that. The Kohen Gadol doesn't have to do that. Kohen Gadol only has to. The Kohen Gadol's job is finished when the soy reaches the tchilas amidbar. So I remember years ago, there was a very popular sefer by Shai Agnon, Yomim Noroim. He has a likut of all beautiful mekoyres, minhagim and psokim and everything. So he quotes these two minhagim in Europe that in some communities they had no pause at all, like by Frankfurt, by the Yekkes, they had no pause at all. In others they had to pay the davke to have a pause of an hour, a little over an hour. Zecher l'migdash, because in the base of migdash they always had such a pause. We should all be zeichet to see all these things. Careful listening. Okay.
Moshe, go ahead.
Good.